Good morning, everyone. We've been talking on the subject of holiness, and this morning I want to talk about beware of false prophets. I've said it before, they were not unique to Israel only. There were a lot of them arose in the early church, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and they're still here very prevalent. A prophet is defined as one who foretells. In other words, they may tell future events or tells forth. They expound on the Word of God. And you have to pay close attention to what you're being told and compare it to the Word of God. It amazes me how many people I've talked to over the years will get very fond of a false teacher. And they get offended if you know, say, well, that teacher's a false teacher. And it's not, they themselves have personally not compared the Word of God to what that person's teaching. That's going to get you in trouble every time. I'd like to open with a word of prayer before we go to our text. Father, I thank you for all who have made it out today. I ask a special blessing on them. I know your word's already blessed, Lord, so I ask that you help me to bring this text to your people. Open our ears and our eyes, Holy Spirit, and our hearts to receive these truths that are so very important to us today as they were thousands of years ago. I just ask that I would decrease, that you might increase. In Jesus' holy name, amen. I chose the New Living today, New Living Translation, because the way it's worded, the text will be out of Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 22. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering, and do not let your people practice fortune-telling or use sorcery or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. But you must be blameless before the Lord your God. The nations you are about to displace consult sorcerers and fortune tellers, but the Lord your God forbids you to do such things. Moses continued, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you yourselves requested of the Lord your God when you were assembled at Mount Sinai. You said, 'Don't let us hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, or see his blazing fire, for we will die.' Then the Lord said to me, 'What they have said is right. I will raise up a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell the people everything I command him. I will personally deal with anyone who will not listen to the messages the prophet proclaims on my behalf. But any prophet who falsely claims to speak in my name, or who speaks in the name of another god, must die. But you may wonder, how will we know whether or not a prophecy is from the Lord? If the prophet speaks in the Lord's name, but his prediction does not happen or come true, you will know that the Lord did not give that message. That prophet has spoken without any authority and need not be feared." It took 10 plagues for God to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. If you're familiar with the story, they had wandered, well, I shouldn't say wandered, they had went through the wilderness, and they got to the Jordan. And God told Moses, "It's time to go in." Well, the people wanted the land spied out, so Moses picked 12 men, one from every tribe, and sent them in to spy the land out. And when they came back, it said they had fruit with them, and they said, this land is just what God said it was. But 10 of the men said, but these people are giants. They have fortified cities. There's no way we can take it. And Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies, said, let's go get it. God's with us. Well, the people chose to listen to the 10. And it said they lifted up their voices and they wept. And then they sent a delegation to Moses and said, we told you to leave us alone. We were perfectly content serving the Egyptians. And they said, you have brought us out here to kill us and our children. Well, according to the scriptures, that was the 10th time in that time period that they had tempted God and tested him. And God told Moses, that's it. He said, you turn that whole group around and you go back into the wilderness, and you will wander for 40 years, and everyone from 20 years old up will die. And he said, your children that you said I brought out here to kill, they'll be the ones that enter into the promised land. But he said, you won't enter now. The writer of Hebrews talks about the rest of God. And God swore in his wrath. He said, the Holy Spirit swore in his wrath, they won't enter my rest. That's a dangerous place to be, Christian. I've heard people say, oh, God, you know, God is graceful. He's very graceful. But he can be pushed to a point he won't go beyond. The scriptures prove that. And he told Moses, this is the 10th time these people have pushed me, and I'm not going to be pushed any farther. All of us have that point, if you think about it. All of us have a breaking point, a point that we will not be pushed past. And God is no different. So Moses is bringing the second generation in. And God had some very strong warnings. As I said, it took 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Now the second generation, these young people have seen God's works. He's fed them manna. Moses said, your clothes didn't wear out, your shoes didn't wear out, your feet didn't swell up. God gave us water in the wilderness. He led us through where there were poisonous snakes and scorpions, and you're unharmed because they were God's people, his chosen people. And now they're getting ready to cross the Jordan again, but God said, I want to warn you about something. The Canaanites were a very wicked people. I've heard people condemn God for having the Jews slaughter cities and towns, men, women, and children. And I was talking to a guy one time, and he said, you know, God's a vindictive, mean God. I said, have you read the history of what these people did, the Canaanites? They were very wicked, very immoral. And God warned Israel, don't imitate these people. He had got them out of Egypt, but he knew the temptation would be great for them to get in there, whether it was out of curiosity or just a sense of wanting to get along with them. God said, don't imitate these people. I'm driving them out for these reasons, and don't you take it up either. The Canaanites practice child sacrifice. Now, you wouldn't think anyone would do that, but especially the worship of Baal, the god Baal, they would sacrifice babies to Baal. Very heinous way that they did it. They practiced fortune-telling, sorcery. They practiced witchcraft and spell-casting. They consulted mediums and psychics and necromancers. Now, that word wasn't in our text, but a necromancer is one who speaks to the dead on your behalf. If you've ever been to a seance, that person is called a medium or a necromancer. They try to call up the spirits of the dead. And I included this in the text today because it's amazed me over the years how many Christians I have talked to that say, well, you know, I like to call the psychic hotline once in a while just for a hoot. Or I read my horoscope every morning. God said those who do this are detestable to him. He asked through the prophet Isaiah, why do you want to consult the dead on behalf of the living? Do you understand God's a jealous God? We think of jealous in a negative way, but God said, I'm jealous. I love you like a husband. And I'm a jealous husband. My dad used to say, you know, God doesn't play second fiddle to anybody. It's all or none. And God knew that the people of Canaan were consulting demonic spirits, and he said to Israel, don't do that. You don't want to go there. And so he knew the temptation would be great for them when they crossed the river to try to pick up some of the customs. Now, what's the point I made? The church today is under the same commandment, church. We're not to be like the world. We're not to think like the world. We're not to act like the world. In fact, the Bible says if you want to be the world's friend, you become God's enemy. And that was spoken to Christians. Okay, James wasn't saying it to the world. They're already his enemy. And why is there such a scramble in the church today to get along? I'm not talking about being friendly and amiable, but I mean we want to compromise and let's act like the world, then we'll draw the world in. And when they see we're just not so different from them. I've read of churches that don't talk about sin. They don't talk about the blood of Jesus. They don't talk about the cross and the redemptive work because it offends people. We're not called to be like the world, church. If you're a Christian and you're reading your horoscopes, you need to stop that. Remember, God said, that is detestable to me. If you're a Christian and you think it's okay to talk to a psychic, stop it. I remember one psychic on TV named Sylvia Brown. I don't know why I can keep that name in my mind, but she was a professed Christian. And she was on a talk show and a lady got up in the audience and said, my mother recently passed away. She said, oh yeah, I just talked to her. She's in heaven or the Christ consciousness or the God consciousness, whatever you prefer, and she's doing fine. And that woman began to cry and said, oh, I thank you so much. And I thought, why? Were there any Christians in the audience, why weren't there one Christian in that audience who could have stood up and said, wait a minute, you're not a Christian. Well, judge not that you be not judged. No, the Word says you're not a Christian. This lady claimed to be a Christian, and the Scriptures, the Lord God said, you detest me. So church, we're not called to be like the world. It's okay to be different in Christ. Peter said we've been called to be peculiar. In my case, that's a good call. I've been peculiar all my life. And it was cool when I found out God could use peculiar. But that's not what I want to talk about, so I won't charge you for that. I want to talk about true and false prophets. Now we know when Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among the Israelites. We know who that's speaking of, or we should. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. And when you read that, the implications go deeper than what you think. How did Israel treat Moses? Why, it said the first time he appeared to him when he's 40 years old, they shoved him and said, who made you a ruler? A lot of people do that to the Lord today. Who does God think he is? So in Moses' prophecy, he said he's going to raise up a prophet like me. As I said, the implications go a lot farther than we think. When Moses came and spoke to Israel, they said, who do you think you are? I told you when they got to the Jordan and Moses said, the Lord said, we're going to take the land. The people come up and said, we've picked another leader and we're going back to Egypt. We're done with you. God said, this prophet will speak my words, and anyone who refuses to listen to him, I will personally deal with him. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, there's a lot of skepticism in the world today about the Bible. Men wrote it. I've never seen a book that a man didn't write, or a woman. So that's kind of a stupid point to me. Well, men wrote the Bible. Of course they did. Men inspired by the Holy Spirit. Well, I just don't know if I believe it. Well, you're believing the lie in Genesis 3. Did God really say? When Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees of his day, the religious leaders, they didn't like what he taught. You know, I believe if the Lord would have showed up and patted those Pharisees on the back and said, these guys are holy men, you listen to them, while they'd have held him up and said, yeah, we recognize this guy. But Jesus didn't do that. He came in and rebuked a lot of them. He said, you don't even know God. You talk about God, you read the Bible, but you don't know him. Infuriated them. And when they confronted him about his teaching, Jesus said, my words, these aren't mine. He said, I'm telling you what the Father told me to tell you. It infuriated him. And just like Israel had done with Moses, many of the Israelites of that day rejected Jesus. We don't like what you're teaching. He called them slaves to sin at one time. That made them mad. You know, the Lord doesn't always say what you and I want to hear, but he will always say what we need to hear. God is a just God, and Joe mentioned his love. He's a loving God. And I would rather be rebuked by a loving friend than complimented by somebody who's just worried about hurting my feelings. Now, false prophets were not unique. Sometimes when we think of false prophets, we think of Old Testament. Yeah, there were a lot of false prophets. And if you've read the Old Testament, they brought about the downfall of Israel. They brought about their deportation. When Jeremiah was prophesying after they had went to Babylon, God told Jeremiah, now you tell them they're going to be there 70 years. Build houses, raise your gardens, raise your family, marry your sons and daughters. You're going to be there 70 years. There were two prophets in Babylon saying, no way, we'll be out of here in just a couple. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, ended up burning them at the stake. I don't remember what the offense was. But I would say God took care of that. God said, no, that's not what I said. You're done. He told Moses and the people, if you catch a false prophet, you put them to death. Why? Because they misled people speaking in the name of the Lord. And they turn people away from God. And as I said, God's a jealous God. That angers God. Now, when we think of prophets today, especially in the Restoration Church, I've heard a lot of people say, well, the gift of prophecy's gone. No, it's not. Because we always think of somebody that tells the future. Talks about future events. Speaks in the future. That's not only what a prophet does. A prophet is somebody who could expound on the Word of God, who says this is what the Lord says. They expound on the Word of God. They teach the Word of God. Now, I'm not calling myself a prophet, but I'm saying a prophet goes a little farther than what we think it does. And God wants us to be aware now, just like he did with Israel then, there are false teachers. There are false prophets. You need to beware of them. Now, the Jews had asked God at this time, or asked Moses, how do we know? And God said, that's a good question. If they speak anything in my name that doesn't come to pass, then you know they spoke presumptuously. They didn't speak by me. I remember a man a while back named this one guy. He's gone now. He died of a brain tumor. But he said, you ever hear of this guy? And I said, no. Oh, you need to listen to him. He's a prophet of God. So I listened to him, and he's credited with predicting the 9-1-1 assault. Remember when they crashed the planes into the World Trade Centers? And the church he was in said, this guy's a prophet. Well, I listened to him. The flight path he gave was completely different. He said the planes were going to come in from this way and that way. They came in from just the opposite. So what was my conclusion? He's a false prophet. God didn't say if 50% of what they say happens. If anything they say doesn't happen, I didn't send them. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember Ann Landers, you know, but her church held that she was a prophetess. And I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. I think they said her accuracy rate was like 54%. I don't know how they figure that. Because everybody's wrong once in a while. God's not. God's never wrong. And if God speaks through somebody, God's never wrong. If somebody says this is what the Lord says, you need to be like the Bereans. You remember who the Bereans were in the book of Acts? The Apostle Paul had been preaching and was persecuted and run out of city after city after city. And it said the Berean Jews were more noble. Every day Paul taught, and it said every day they searched the scriptures. Do you know why that's, God left this book here? So you can read it. And it said the Bereans, when they listened to Paul preach, they would have a Bible study after Paul got done and said, well, he said this, what does the Bible say? Do you know how much trouble that'll keep you out of, Christian? I told you last week about that minister, and I didn't name him because I know that people don't like that. Sometimes I don't care and I name him anyway, but I didn't name him that time. But that friend of mine meant very well and said, oh, you got to listen to this brother, man. He's anointed. And I was just silly enough, when he'd say, open your Bibles, and I would open my Bible and sit there and read with it. And then I'd listen to him preach. And after a couple months, I thought, where are you getting this? I did a message a while back talking about false prophets, and I named some of them. And it may have upset some of you. I wasn't trying to be mean. I'm just trying to warn you, they're out there. There are people who intentionally twist and teach the Word of God, and they're not speaking through the Spirit of God, and any one of us can be susceptible to that. Well, that was a good message. I thought they brought a good message. I was preaching in a Nazarene church once, and I got excited, and I shouted, and this guy came up and he said, now that was good preaching. I said, really, what I preach about? Well, you shouted. You know, I just think that's good preaching. Made me believe you was under the anointing. How do you know I didn't stub my toe? Good night. I grew up around that. Preachers shout, people go, oh, he's under the anointing. He yells. Or they chicken walk. You know, and they go, God, and people see they're under the anointing. No, they're not. Do they preach the truth? I don't care how much a guy shouts and skips around and hollers, hallelujah, praise Jesus, glory to God, amen. That doesn't mean he's under the anointing. A lot of guys use that for fills. Listen to them. They do it when they catch a breath. They do it when they're trying to think of their next sentence. Well, glory to God, praise Jesus, amen, hallelujah. That doesn't make them anointed. I'm not talking about signs and wonders, church. When I preach, I hope you go home and read the Word. Read the text and see if I'm bringing it to you in the truth. You better. I might be a false prophet. I might end up owning your car. You know, if I can talk you into that. Brother Phil's got a bike I wouldn't mind owning sometimes. Not that I covet your bike, but you get what I'm saying at? So God warned Israel. Number one, he said, don't be like the nations around you. Number two, he said, you better listen when somebody speaks in my name. And you better test it and weigh it. I've had people say, well, you know, they really didn't have a Bible. Well, sure they did. They had the law. And God warned them in the law. Not everybody that says, thus saith the Lord, is speaking in my name. You better weigh it out. Jesus said to his church, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but outwardly they are ravenous wolves." What does he mean, sheep's clothing? You know, God uses that sheep a lot when he talks about us. And I used to think sheep were stupid, but I've been renting off of Sheldon, and they're not stupid. They're very intelligent animals. They all have personalities, some better than others. And what did Jesus mean in sheep's clothing? It would be easy if the devil would come to you and say, "Hi, I'm the devil. I'm here to rob you of your joy and steal your soul. And I'm going to lie to you like a rug." But he doesn't do that. He comes and looks like a sheep. He dresses like a sheep. He acts like a sheep. He talks like a sheep. So Jesus warned his church, these false prophets are going to look legitimate. They're going to sound legitimate. But he said it's what's in the heart is what comes out. They're ravenous wolves. What's a wolf do in a sheep herd? They're there to eat. They're there to tear it apart and scatter it. Peter spoke of false prophets. He said that there were false prophets in Israel, and there will be false prophets in the church. It sounds almost like Peter and Jesus had a negative attitude, but they didn't, because this is such a real danger. And it was going on in the first century church. You might think that, it took several years for false prophets to rise. They were there immediately. Self-proclaimed teachers. Maybe they didn't like what Paul and Peter and Philip and Matthew and them were teaching, and they wanted to put their own twist on it and say, "Look, you want to put more butts in the seat? This is how you preach. You want to fill that offering bucket up? You need to preach this way. You know, you guys, you want to grow your church? Lay off the sin thing." They had ministers in the first century church teaching people, "The only sin you need to be delivered from is ignorance. Don't you know your gods?" This is while the apostles were alive. So Peter warned the church and said, there's going to be false prophets who will bring in destructible heresy, even denying the Lord who bought them. Now, you could probably sit there and think of some Christian cults that you've run into or read about who do exactly that. No, Jesus is an angel. He's not the Son of God. He's not God in the flesh. He's just an angel. That's denying the Lord who bought you. Peter warned the church before he died in his second letter. He said, "I'm getting ready to die." Jesus had told him he would be executed. And Peter said, "It's time." So he said, "I wanted to remind you before I die. This is very important to me. Watch out for false teachers." James said, "Let not many of you presume to teach, because we'll be held to a stricter standard." That's what kept me out of preaching for 15 years, church. I felt God was calling me to do that, and I kept saying, "I don't want to do it." My mother used to say, "You're the oldest kid, and your brothers and sisters look up to you, and they want to imitate you." And I said, "I ain't asking nobody to look up to me. I want to be me. You know, let them do what they want to do." "Well, it doesn't work that way." She said, "They watch you." I hated that. You know, you need to behave and walk right, because your brothers and sisters are going to follow in your path. And quite honestly, I didn't care. I knew what I wanted to do. You know, hey, I'm me. They can be them and I'll be me. We aren't bananas. We didn't come in a bunch. I'm an individual. Boy, I was selfish. And I think about teachers. You can speak all the right words, and if you don't have the testimony of your witness, it doesn't mean a thing. You can speak the right words, and if you don't live it, it doesn't count for a thing. God's not impressed. I met a guy once, I mean, he could quote the Bible, my gosh. And there was something about him I kept feeling on the inside, something is wrong. And I found out I was right. Got to know him a little better. Well, he could speak the words, but he wasn't walking the walk. That's one thing we're told to look for in false prophets. Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit. How do they live? Do they honor God? Are they concerned about your spiritual welfare? Jude warned about these false teachers in his day. Jude was Jesus' brother. He said, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. You know what contend means? What, you know what they call an upcoming boxer? A contender. They're training, they're fighting, they're going to attempt to take that title. And that word that Jude uses, he's saying, Christian, you need to fight for the faith. I kickboxed years ago when I had less sense than anything else. And, you know, you had to train. And when you got in there and got the gloves and the gear on, it was on. You better fight. And we have this pacifist attitude in the church. You know, we're supposed to just be gentle and meek and don't say boo to a goose. No. Jude said, fight for the faith. Contend for it. It doesn't mean to be aggressive. It doesn't mean to be in people's faces. But he's saying you defend that faith. Paul told the elders at Ephesus, when I leave here, there are wolves coming. And the sad thing was, he said, some of them will come out of your congregation. And they won't spare the flock. Jude said these people have two motivations. They're arrogant and they're greedy. He said they will perish in the way of Balaam. You remember Balaam? He was a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, and this king offered him money. And Balak said, I want you to come curse these people. And Balaam said, I can't say anything God doesn't tell me to say. So the second time, the king sent more delegation with a bigger money offer. Well, let me pray about it. He didn't need to pray about it. God had already told him no. But he said, here's more money. Balaam, well, let me pray. Well, Balaam didn't curse him. But when the Israelites fought that nation, guess who got killed? Balaam. His motivation was greed. Jude said these men are arrogant, and women. They're greedy. Paul spoke of their greed. He said their God is their belly, their appetites. It bothers me. I watch these, not very often, but these self-proclaimed gurus, New Age gurus. Well, God told me if you'll send me $1,000. And the gullible people that do that. Like the gifts of God are for sale. I've never read in the Bible where God said, well, I've got a special today on blessings and $39.95, you know. But people do it all the time. The Lord has told me, if you'll send me $1,000, he'll heal your marriage. What if I'm not happily married and I don't want my marriage healed? I had a guy come to me once. I was on city council at Mansfield. I was pastoring here and I had things going on. And he came up and he goes, the Lord has told me. Anytime somebody says, the Lord has told me, I'm like, okay. What's God told you? That you are to take over this place in Hartville. It was a food pantry or something. He has called you. And I mean, he was, oh. And I said, you better go back and talk to God because I'm way too busy. There is no way. I don't have the time nor the inclination. He goes, well, maybe I need to pray more. Yeah, first thing I'd do is say the sinner's prayer if I was you. I knew God hadn't called me to do that. Church, beware of false teachers. Pay attention to those that you listen to. Paul and Jude both said their motivation is greed. Paul also said they want to make disciples for themselves. They want that pat on the back. They want you to buy their books. You go to CPO and those bookshelves are full of false teaching, false prophecies. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. I'll never write a book. I don't attempt to sell the Word of God. Am I bragging on myself? No. I cannot imagine God saying, Rick, I'm giving you this revelation for my church, and you can charge him so much. Child of God, compare what you hear to the Word. Pray about it, especially if it's something that touches you and you think, is this true? We talked about the Holy Spirit last week. Jesus said he will teach you the truth. Listen to him. If he says this is not truth, then leave it alone. Shut your TV off. Stop supporting that ministry. Walk away. There are as many false prophets in the church today as there were in Israel. I want to close with Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. He says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Beware of false prophets, church. Get into the Word. Get into prayer. Seek God. I don't care how good of a message you think somebody brings, how much you like what they say, never be afraid to test it to the Word and see if that's what the Word says. Jude said that the false teachers, the blackest mist of darkness has been reserved for them forever. Now, in the law of Moses, God said, you kill them, you stone them. Now God says, I'm going to take care of it. They want to teach darkness. They want to walk in darkness. I'm going to give them the blackest darkness they've ever seen. And they'll never recover. Would you stand with me this morning? I just felt it was pertinent today to bring this text and talk to you about the false teachers because our airways are inundated with them. Be careful what you hear. Jesus said, unto whom I give much, I require much. Be careful what you take into here. Because he said, whatever is in here in abundance, that's what's going to come out. Pay attention, church. Listen when you hear the Word of God taught.